Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Just before you see it, just look at someone and say, there's something better. Amen. And please take your seats. I want you to turn in your Bibles real quick to Philippians, epistle to the church of Philippi from the Apostle Paul, chapter 3. We're going to read 5 verses. And we're in, once more, coming out of the retreat, we're into a series again in the church, because retreats are great. They're mountaintop experiences. But then mountaintops are to see stuff, experience things, to gain clearer vision. But you don't live on a mountaintop. Otherwise, you run out of oxygen, you'll freeze to death and die. Amen. You have to come back down the mountain and you have to put into practice everything you've received. And I just want to take this just one quick moment to thank every single person behind the scenes that helps put in this conference together. Because what you see in the front is just a small proportion of the people that were working behind the scenes. So we applaud you, we thank you, we're grateful for you. And teamwork makes a dream work. Amen? Amen? But today we're going to continue in our transformation series. And the title of this message today, we're going to talk about transforming your breakthrough. Transforming your breakthrough. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul's speaking. He's writing about revelations, doctrine. He's writing about the truth of different things. And then it comes up to this point and he says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. So there's more. Say there's more. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. And then he says this, but we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Let me say that again. We must hold on to the progress that we have already made. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. Some deep stuff that he's speaking about here, about his understanding of how things work. There's nothing wrong with getting a breakthrough in your life. How many of you have ever had a breakthrough? Let me see your hands. I think this last week, there's lots of women that have had a breakthrough in their lives. Am I right or wrong? Even some of us that are men that sneaked in. Some men sneaked in holding babies. The baby was the free pass. Hello. Some men sneaked in with a little badge that said security. But they were there listening out the back. Some men just sneaked in wearing wigs and skirts, I'm sure. But I was there and I could see people getting a breakthrough. And there's nothing wrong with getting a breakthrough. And just to let you know that in Victory Outreach terminology, what we mean by a breakthrough, it's not just an emotional release. That's not what we mean by breakthrough. Some places they might say, oh, breakthrough, you get a breakthrough, it's like an emotional release. But Victory Outreach terminology in our ministry, we talk about breakthroughs, and they are times when you overcome something. Opposition. You've overcome something. Addiction or some sort of opposition. There's been a revelation that has changed the way you think and therefore changed the way you act and perceive life. Does everyone understand? There's nothing wrong with getting a breakthrough in an area of your life. It's just that there is something even better that God has waiting for you. Everyone's like, man, if only I got a breakthrough. And then you get a breakthrough, but let me tell you, there's something better than a breakthrough. Definition of a breakthrough from dictionaries that you find, you can find these online or in books, is a breakthrough is a sudden, dramatic, and important discovery or development. Sudden, dramatic. You know, like when you first get saved, there's a breakthrough. You go from darkness to light, there's a breakthrough. That's a breakthrough. The opposition that stands against people from knowing God is smashed and it's broken. That's a breakthrough. There's a realization, a sudden development. There's different words that also synonyms, they call them, that speak about this. Development, step forward, leap forward, quantum leap. A step in the right direction, success, discovery, improvement, innovation. All of these things speak of breakthrough. Then there's the second one, is the second definition is an instance of achieving success in a particular area or sphere of activity. Like when you get a breakthrough in your diet. When you get a breakthrough in your fitness. Hello. You know, when you actually go to the gym and use that gym membership that is just sitting there sucking money out of your account every month for no reason. Hello. You get a breakthrough in your chocolate addiction. Oh, no one's got one of them. You achieve success. You've had a breakthrough. Then in another definition, it says a breakthrough is a military movement or advance all the way through and beyond an enemy's frontline defense. Some of you know we have a spiritual enemy. He is a spirit. There are various different spirits in operation. They also operate through people, but as Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, people are pawns in many instances, but there are spirits that operate that seek to oppose God's kingdom developing in and through our lives. Does everyone understand that? It's not just coincidence. Sometimes it's demonic incidents. Sometimes it's just stupidity. But the enemy has a frontline defense, and when there's a breakthrough, you're breaking through that darkness, that opposition, that oppression. Come on now. Right? And you break through his first line of defense. And then it says the second one is an act or instance of removing or surpassing an obstruction or restriction, the overcoming of a stalemate. Woo! That's breakthrough, baby. When you're overcoming opposition, breaking a stalemate, you know, getting unstuck. Has that ever happened to anyone? Has anyone ever been stuck in a place? They call it stasis, where you're just stuck and you can't get through. And what happens is people then just settle right there. Imagine the children of Israel just settling the wrong side of the Jordan. They just settle there. Well, we can't go through that river. We can't go over there. There's giants in the land. Are you with me? The first generation of Israelites that came out from slavery, they got stuck. Second generation come through, got a breakthrough. You understanding what we're meaning right now? Breakthroughs come when we face something and overcome it. You have to face it and then press into it to overcome it. They happen when we step up and not back, and when we're positioned correctly in the right place at the right time. Then all of a sudden there'll be a sudden development, a sudden revelation, a sudden realization that gives you a breakthrough. The idea of a breakthrough suggests a preceding struggle that finally peaks into a resolution, technically. Breakthroughs are great, and when they happen, we can feel like we've been given the opportunity of a lifetime. You get a breakthrough, right? You get into the team, you get a breakthrough. You get into that promotional position, you get a breakthrough. She says yes. I will go out with you. You've had a breakthrough. Come on now. Hello. It's great. The opportunity of a lifetime. Hallelujah. But if she said yes, or you had that promotional position of opportunity, but you didn't do anything with it, wouldn't it be sad? And the problem is that many people get to this point of breakthrough, this opportunity of a lifetime, and then it's good enough for them. But God has something better for you than a breakthrough. Some of you are like, what can be better than a breakthrough? Ask me what? A breakout. A breakout. See, a breakthrough is going through that line of opposition, but the breakout is not just getting the opportunity of a lifetime. A breakout is where your immediate opportunity of a lifetime becomes an ongoing reality for your lifetime. You break through not just to stay there in place at the place of the breakthrough. You break through, and then when you're through, you have a look and you look about and you see horizons. You see expansion, you see opportunity, and then you keep walking forward into realizing the opportunity, that it becomes not just this opportunity, this possibility, but it becomes a reality. Are you getting this? But what the problem is some people have waited so long to get their breakthrough that when their breakthrough comes, they hang on to it, they stick around it, they end up dropping it, or they end up retreating back to where they came from in confusion. Instead of exploiting the breakthrough in what is militarily termed a breakout, where you break out, you expand your borders. See, the first thing, a breakthrough breaks through the opposition. The second thing, the breakout fully engages the opportunity and it keeps going. It expands and it accelerates and it takes new ground. That's a breakout. Are you with me? And this is where many people miss the fullness of what's available to them. This is generally how this thing goes. There's a struggle. Anyone ever had a struggle? You're kind of stuck. You're fighting against some form of opposition to your peace and your progress and your purpose. Has that ever happened to anyone? Wave your hand in the air. There's some sort of struggle. It happens. It's normal. It's usual, right? But then comes a moment and you're fighting and you're beating it and you're bashing it and you're using every trick at your disposal, every little bit of intelligence that you've got, every bit of power that you possess, every bit of influence that you have, but still you keep punching up against this brick wall. Does that happen to anyone? Huh? Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, right? And then what happens is, just at the point when you give up and you let go, you either let go and forget it or you let go and let God. So you're struggling and you're struggling and you're fighting and you're pressing and you're doing everything you can, but you're doing it. And there comes a point when you've got to stop doing it and you've got to let God do it. So the first point is where you're struggling, you're fighting against some sort of opposition. But then comes a moment where you release everything to the Lord. You know how difficult it is to do that for us? To release our cares from our kung fu grip to the living God who cares for us? Because sometimes we don't trust. And this is the clincher, man. This is where you get the breakthrough. This is it. You don't release your burdens to God in order for you to get a breakthrough because you don't believe that God is good. The opposition, its initial thing is to stop you believing in God. But if the enemy can't stop you to believing in God, well, I'll never stop believing in God. I believe that he is. I believe that Jesus is true. I believe that he is who he says he is. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. Yeah, but you're stuck. Because even though you believe in God, you've lost your belief in the fact that he's good. Because you don't trust that everything you go through, God works it all together for good. So instead of just going through where he says breakthrough, instead of standing where he says stand, instead of believing what he says to believe and trusting him, you say, well, that can't be God. And you fight your own little battle. Are you with me? I heard a story once of two athletes, and they had a task to perform, and it was to jump across a gaping chasm. This is not in my notes, so I'm winging this one. But it's good. They had to jump across a gaping chasm. The first one was all pumped up. He was big, he was strong, he was fit, he had a six-pack. He was stretching his hamstrings out, his muscles. He was lunging. You know, he was preparing himself. And what he had to do was jump from point A to point B across a gaping chasm. So he used everything, every bit of power that he had, all of the technique that he had been trained in. And he took a big long run up. He said, I'm going to be able to do this. I can do this. I can do this. He was self-talking to himself. You can do this. Come on, son. Come on, son. Come on, son. Let's do it. You can do it. Come on, you've done that. Huh? Don't eat that chocolate. No, 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 you don't need it. No, it's fine. Don't do it. No, you're going to get a breakthrough. Come on, son. Come on, son. Wake up. Come on, son. Come on, go for a run. Come on, put you even get the lycra tights on and then you're sitting there. And then you have a cup of coffee and you look at the time. It's like, oh, it's time to go to work now. Next time, next time. Come on, come on. And he wound himself up and he ran as fast as he could and he ran right to the point and he leapt. And you know when they do that little bicycle thing in the air? He was doing that through the air. And there's the other side. And he didn't get to it. Ooh. The other little dude was like me or you. Too fat, too skinny, unfit. Whatever one fits your particular description right now. Everyone's looking at him thinking, if that fit bloke couldn't do it, how's he going to do it? But this was a little skinny, fat, unfit man or woman that believed in the living God. And instead of talking to himself saying, you can do it, you can do it, he was saying, God, I can't do it, but I believe you can. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I believe that you can do it. You just need to show me how to do it because I don't know that I can't do it. I can't do it. God didn't say nothing. So he got himself together in his skinny little fat way. He didn't even bother lunging. He just took off at a dead run, stumbled along. Gimpy looking run. You know what I'm talking about. You're not 19 anymore. Come on now. You try to run before and it's like, whoa, what's happened to my legs? And he ran, and just before he got to the place, he was just gathering himself for the launch. He heard a voice that said, stop. He went, Arr! He went, what is it, Lord? The Lord said, use the bridge. And he looked around, walked over, and there across the chasm was a bridge. And he walked across the bridge into the new place of his breakthrough. The point is that sometimes we try and pump ourselves up to get a breakthrough. We talk ourselves into it. We use all of our skill and our advantages and our intelligence and our influence. But we forget God. We wonder why we're in stasis, why we're stuck. Because we forget, man. But then you get in the right place. There's a moment of peace. You remember that God is good. He ain't going to let you try and do it all yourself. He is there with you. He is there for you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He wants the best for you. He's done it with you. He wants to do it with you. And then there comes a revelation that leads to a successful breaking or piercing through the opposition of whatever type it is. But here's the danger and the beauty of the breakthrough position. The danger is that you settle for the breakthrough and stay right there and continually then seek for these times in your life. You get the breakthrough, and then you're like, wow, done it. But then the opposition comes back at you, and you're there always fighting for the breach. Are you with me? And sometimes you'll be pushed back, and then you'll have to get a breakthrough again. And then you stand there, and then you get pushed back, and you have to get a breakthrough again in the same area. Lots of people do it and it's dangerous because you can slip or fall back into the same old patterns again. And then there comes a need for an emotional high time to get you by. And that's what a lot of people think a breakthrough is. They come to the altar, the music's playing, everything's wonderful, the lights are dim, there's people leading them in worship, they're pumped up by the people around them. They're there, they lift their arms up, they feel better about things, they feel like they've ticked a box, they feel a warm, gooey feeling inside of them, and they think that's it. And then they go away, never exploiting the breakthrough, back into their normal, everyday, outside church life, which is where Christianity really belongs. And then they start feeling down again because it's raining outside. And they look in the mirror and they feel down again. And they look at their spouse and feel down again. And they look at their kids and feel down again. And they go to work and feel down again. And they get on the bus, they feel down again. And then they have to come back to church the next Sunday struggling to get in, to get another emotional high, which they think is a breakthrough. And then they'll leave going, oh, I got a breakthrough today. No, you didn't. You just felt emotional about stuff. But you're stuck there in the breach and you fight it as long as it takes you to miss your first bus. But the beauty is that you don't have to stay there. You can progress through your process and expand and accelerate into a new space, spacious place. Huh? So let's be honest here. The healthiest human relationships are not based on breakthroughs or emotional highs. They're based on steady, patient growth through faithfulness, commitment, and love. You don't need to be getting breakthroughs all the time, emotional highs, if you're just being patient and steady and committed and consistent. Are you with me? Huh? It's no different in our relationship with God. These emotional highs, they occur. We love feeling it. It's okay. Feelings are okay. There is a portion of Christianity that says don't feel anything. That's sin. Don't do anything. That's works. I say to them, I don't agree. Because we have life. We're humans. We live. God has emotion. And God wants us to do work. We just can't earn anything from God that's worth anything. But the emotional stuff, the intensity of stuff is just like the icing on the cake, man. I don't know about you. Some people get a cake and they take all the icing off and eat the icing, leave the cake. Right? That's like some sweet Christians that just love the sweet stuff of Christianity. They love the sweet stuff of church. But the substance of what makes it a cake, it might not be as glamorous, a little bit of fruit and a little bit of sponge. I'm a sponge Christian. I want to be a spongy Christian. You know the good thing about sponge? Sponges are not glamorous, but they soak stuff up. That icing stuff don't soak up nothing. It just makes you fat. Gives you diabetes. Hello? Rots your teeth. There's a lot of fat, diabetic, snaggletooth Christians that just want the emotional high of churchianity, but they don't want the consistent commitment of Christianity. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk to you like this. Good, healthy, spiritual life. It's the same as a good, healthy relationship. It's more about consistency. Small daily acts that speak loudly of a big love. Not just a big Valentine's Day love explosion. Huh? That saves the day. Woo. Come on now. Some people think that this emotional breakthrough that they have in church is going to give them points with the God that just wants them to go out and be light and salt and, you know, just be there in the earth, just loving their enemies and doing good to their neighbors and just shining in the darkness and small acts of kindness and love and all of that stuff. Every day I tell my wife I love her, whether she hears me or not. Some of you know women sometimes have selective hearing. Hello. I love her. I love you. See, I have witnesses. But those small daily acts, rubbing her foot when her legs are hurting, making her a coffee, washing up when no one's around, picking up my clothes off the floor and putting them in the dirty washing basket, making the bed. Listen, if you're struggling to do anything, The first thing you should do in the morning, get up and make your bed. You know why? Because at least then you've made something in that day that is positive. And then that launches you forward into making something else happen during the rest of your day. Get up, make your bed. Huh? A messy bed is a messy head. And let's face it, the temptation is that there's someone else that is a really good bed maker that you just let them make the bed. So they make it better than me anyway. I make my bed sometimes. I've been doing it a lot lately. But then someone else will come along and they'll tuck it in and make it nicer. That's okay. At least I've made something. If you want to make it better than me after that, that's good. You've improved it. Hallelujah. Look at what we've accomplished today already. Already there's been an expansion. Already there's been a breakout. Even in the smallest thing, like making your bed. Huh? Small, consistent daily acts. Paul's example, he had many revelations of Jesus, which caused transformation in his thinking and also in his actions. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was in the school of Gamaliel, which was the school of the Spirit. There was another school, the school of Hillel, which was the school of the letter. They called that the school of the letter. And Paul later said, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. There were different ways that they were trained in the rabbinical schools. And he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. You know, he was a proud man. We know that. He opposed this new cult called the Way, Christianity, the followers of Jesus. He put people in prison. They even died. That was the thinking at the time. But he had a breakthrough one day. He was in the right place at the right time, sitting on the back of a donkey on his way from Jerusalem to Damascus. And boom, he had a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. He had many revelations. He realized that Jesus is Lord. He's God in the same way as the Father created God, who is Spirit. Paul realized that Jesus is the closest we can get to seeing God in action. You want to know how God works, how God moves, how God looks? Read about Jesus. He also encountered a lot of opposition. But when he overcame it, it not only benefited him, but also those who followed him. See, if you get a breakthrough and you just stand in a breach, no one else can come through that breakthrough. But if you get a breakthrough and move on, you've left a gap for other people to follow in your footsteps. And you'll notice that he didn't need constant Damascus Road experiences in order for him to grow and develop. He expanded his understanding for a continually transformed mindset, which came as he focused on the reality of who Jesus was and what he'd done in his daily life. That's how he worked. Huh? He said in verse 13 and 14 of the scripture we read, he said, I focus on this one thing. If you want to focus on one thing in your life, he said, forgetting the past. Why do you always keep looking back, hoping that you can change the past? You can't change the past. If you got dropped on your head when you was a baby and abandoned, then that's what happened. You can't go back and change it. All you can do is change your present perception of that. And your reaction to that right now, because that then will change what you see happen in the future. Forgetting what lies behind, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on. I don't just stay still. I press on. I get a breakthrough and I keep going. I get a breakthrough and I keep walking. I get a breakthrough and I keep expanding. I press on. To reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. Sure, he had breakthroughs in his understanding as he overcame opposition, but he secured the breakthrough. I'm coming into close. Watch this. This is important. He secured the breakthrough. He made it stable. And then he used it to launch out into the new opportunity it gave him to grow. When you get a breakthrough, secure it. Make it stable. Know that God gave it to you. Value it. Put some markers down. Stick some stones of remembrance up. Mark the date in your diary. Put a word down in your Bible. Mark that thing. This is the day when I got saved. This is the day when I was delivered from drugs. This is the day when I realized that Jesus was my healer, my provider, my deliverer, my restorer. This was the day when my kids come back. This was the day when I got a breakthrough in my workplace. This was the day. This was the conference when my life changed. This was the altar call when I received the call of God upon my life. I remember my breakthroughs, but I don't live in them anymore. I've moved past them. And now other people are getting saved and set free and delivered and fulfilling their callings and going and planting churches and taking on ministries and getting married and having kids and families. And some of them have come through my breakthrough. Who's coming through yours? Secure your breakthrough. Make it stable. He then goes on, verse 15 and 16. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. Huh? Spiritually mature. The spiritually mature have no fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. And the problem is you ain't getting a breakthrough because you think God is using that thing to punish you for one of your misdemeanors. No. Jesus took that. God doesn't punish us. He suffers in our place. And then he releases his love. And mature love casts out fear. Those who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. It's not rocket science. And then he says this, but we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Don't go back. Don't stick around in that thing. Don't give it up. Stabilize it and go forward from it. That's when a breakthrough becomes a breakout. That's when it becomes something, when some opposition or faulty mindset or stalemate in an area of faith is broken. And then that new position is made secure and stabilized, and the past is put where it needs to be, firmly behind us, so that a new, fresh realm of exploration and understanding in life can explode into reality. What? I could be a head, not the tail. I could be the boss. I could be a victor, not a victim. I can be loved for who I am. I can be free from that besetting sin. I can go forward. I can flee from temptation. That thing won't overcome me again. Really? Yes! Really? As Paul's understanding grew, his light shone bigger and brighter. He finishes our opening scripture by saying this. He says, dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. Follow in the footsteps of people that have had a breakthrough. Go through their breakthrough. Use the bridge. Don't try and make it happen yourself. Someone else has put that bridge there. God's pointing you out. There's a person that you can follow. There's someone that you can listen to. There's someone whose example is going to help you out. Because if I did it for them, I can surely do it for you. You don't know the background they went through. You just see the breakthrough that they saw. But go through that breakthrough. And when you're into that new place and something faces you, use that as a reference point and know how God does it, how God can use you to do it. So whatever you've gained lately in spiritual growth or understanding, secure it. Women, secure it. Unity, power. Huh? Responsibility, breakthrough, passion, secure it. Make it a place of strength. And then buckle your seatbelt, straighten your armor, get your crown set just nice. Come on now. Huh? Get them shoes that are fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Huh? Spiritual Jimmy Choo's. High heels that pierce scorpions and or flats that just flatten snakes. Come on now, wherever they are. Men, buckle your belt up. Get your breastplate on. Make sure it's made of metal, not plastic. Make sure it does the right job. Don't just look like the right stuff. Some of you know the right stuff costs money, and some Christian men want to look like a warrior, but they don't want to pay the price for the real armor. And then, get ready to press forward into the things God called you to live for. Because there are people out there in your future waiting to receive what you have to give to them. Stand to your feet, lift up your hands. We're not making an altar call for this service because you're not going to come and get an emotional high. What you're going to do is in your seat right where you're at, you're going to take 1 minute as the worship team sing and we close. And you're going to pray and you're going to identify the last breakthrough that you have and the next breakthrough that you need. Two things. Identify the last breakthrough that you had spiritually and then strengthen it. Stabilize it. Build walls around it. Put pillars up near that bridge. Make a gateway. Put doors in it that only open one way. For people that are following you to come through, but you can't go back. And then identify the next breakthrough you might need. Might be in a relationship, might be in the workplace, might be in the calling that God has placed upon your life. And then pray, God, give me the energy, give me the strength, give me the sensitivity to hear your voice and follow your direction. Because I'm going to press forward into that. Lift up your hands and begin to pray. Come on, just as we sing.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.